Welcome to the British Continental Podcast, the show shining a light on stories about British bike racing teams and riders at the domestic level.
Hello and welcome once again to the British Continental Podcast. In today's show, we are bringing you another National Road Series round preview. And this time around, we are discussing what is perhaps the most treasured, most important one-day race in British road racing, the Rafa Lincoln Grand Prix. It's a race with a rich, fabled history, a Belgian Kermesse-style circuit, a steep, cobbled climb, Michael Gate, at its heart, and the course is brilliantly spectator-friendly, running through the heart of Lincoln's historic centre. This weekend's edition will be the 68th running of the race, and previous winners include Paul Curran, Russell Downing, Chris Lillywhite, Dean Downing, Pete Kenyuk, Tom Stewart, Bex Durrell, Alice Barnes, Lizzie Deignan and Fifer Georgie, to name but a few. In short, if you win this race as a rider, you become part of British road racing folklore. This weekend's race forms round three of the Women's National Road Series, which is led by Ely Shaw of the Alba Road Development Team. We have an interview with Ely on our website now, so do check that out. And round two of the Open National Road Series, whose current leader, East Cleveland Classic winner Rowan Baker, won't take to the start this weekend, so we can expect a new individual series leader after Lincoln. You can check out more about the race on our website. We have an in-depth preview and the latest start lists. But let's introduce our guests, who will be familiar with anyone who listened to the last episode. We have St. Piran's James Mackay, who was fourth in this race last year and appears to be back to his best, with third at the East Cleveland Classic a few weeks ago. And we discussed the women's race with Joe Tindley of Pro Noctis 200 Degrees Coffee, Hargreaves Contracting. Joe has ridden every edition of the women's race and even worked in the pub that overlooks the finish line for a few years, the Magna Carta. So if anyone knows the race well, it's Joe. Both give brilliant insights into the event, how to ride it, and how it might play out on Sunday. Before we hear from them, though, I would like to extend a huge thanks to our title sponsor, Lacolle. Without Lacolle's support, we simply couldn't provide the coverage that we do, so we are hugely grateful for their backing. And we'd also like to welcome our new partner sponsor, Pro Noctis, who have been supporters of domestic road racing for many years now, and we're really excited to have them on board. One final announcement before we hear from James and Joe. Monument Cycling has set up a new streaming service and will be showing the Lincoln Grand Prix live. In fact, they plan to stream all National Road Series and National Circuit Series races from now on, as well as providing lots more video content besides. You can get 10% off a subscription with the new service by heading to tv.monumentcycling.com/BritishConti10. That's tv.monumentcycling.com/BritishConti10. And signing up using that link will also support the British Continental too. I'll put the link in the show notes in case you didn't get that, so do head there if you'd like to sign up. Right, let's hear from James and Joe. I spoke to them both before the Timmy James Memorial and the Witham Hall races last weekend, but their takes are as fresh as ever. First up is James, and I started off by asking him just how important the Lincoln Grand Prix is.
Yeah, I think it's massively important. I mean, it's iconic. It's a bit of a cliche, but yeah, the cobbles make it something special. You know, it gives it a sort of Flemish European feel that some of our other races don't have. And I think it kind of, yeah, it's the Tour of Flanders if you're a domestic rider. You know, it's got that, the biggest crowds of the year by far, and the short circuit means that you are exposed to those crowds, you know, 13 times, 14, I guess, if you include the start, and you have a great intimacy with the fans and the historic city centre. It's, you know, it's quite a special thing. And just the Lincoln itself is a pretty cool place, and going up Michael Gate, you're going past buildings that are over 1,000 years old, you know, on a cobbled road that must have had, yeah, countless people over the years, you know, creeping their way up, and then you're going up it on a modern carbon bike. It's
What would it mean to win a race like that? I mean, obviously, I think
I think we've said before on the podcast, but it's not necessarily going to win you a contract to a professional team. But so many riders still really want to win this race. And well, you know, we had Rory Townsend coming back to ride it last year, even though he's now a professional. So riders still clearly really want to win this race. What is it about the race and that makes riders want to win it so desperately?
Well, I'd say a few things. I think given it's such a kind of rider and fan favourite, I think it does probably have a little bit more prestige and clout with in terms of like a result there. So given the history of the race, if you can win it and you're on the list of winners with some big names in the sport, then maybe if you send that to a foreign team or a professional team, they actually, you know, I'd say it's one of the few races in the UK that they will have heard of. They will have heard of, you know, maybe Cycle Classic and the Tour of Britain, and Lincoln is a race that's been going long enough that they've probably heard of the race. So that's not going to hurt. But I also think just in Britain itself, it's given the you know, it's probably the most one of the most long-standing races we have. It's certainly a very historic race, and you know, you want to go down with these legends of the sport in the, you know, in the UK. It's not necessarily to do with comparing yourself to a Wout van Aert or a Tadej Pogacar, but if you go down with Paul Curran and the Downing brothers and, you know, Tom Stewart, it's cool. You know, these are people that when you got into cycling, you probably idolized or looked up to. And everyone who's, you know, when I was getting into racing and when I was taking it pretty seriously when I was younger, Tom Stewart was a pretty iconic figure, or someone like Russell Dean, and they no doubt would have had someone else on that list of winners that they've looked up to, and it feeds a kind of, yeah, it all feeds down. And just the thought that you could maybe inspire someone, or the people doing the race now are contributing to that kind of mythical legend and going down in history, it's just the magic of sport, really. And I think it has that kind of buzz around it and can give you goosebumps in the way that other races, I don't want to say they can't do that, but it's just a special race. And I think it's not a coincidence that so many riders want to win there, and it's the favourite for so many.
And obviously you've ridden the race. You did exceedingly well last year, coming fourth against the might of St Pirren, you being on Cycling Sheffield at that point. What's it like to ride the race? How does it compare to, say, other National Road Series races or even the UCI race?
Yeah, it's got a lot more of a Kermesse kind of feel. So it's a shorter circuit, and it feels like quite an alarming number of laps at some points. You know, you can get just a handful of laps into the race and be feeling the pain and the kind of strenuous nature of the effort, and be confronted with a lap board that says a seriously large number of times up the climb. And it's also one of those things that just goes so fast. You know, you got 13 times up the Michael Gate, but it goes very fast. You know, I think that the crowds really help with that. And it's got a quite contrasting nature where you're in the city centre and you have the hardest part of the course, the decline, and definitely the least tactical part of the course, I think. And then you're in this bubble of noise and action, and you've got the, you know, chain tight up the climb and you're breathing hard, and then you exit the city walls and you end out of town, and then it's the opposite. All you've got is some motorbikes and cars and there's no one there, and that's where the real racing takes place, in my opinion. It's where the head game is, where the mental game is, and where people decide where to play their cards. Don't get me wrong, people can attack on the climb and use it, and it can be it is the most important part of the circuit to some extent, because that's where the finish line is. But it's the rest of the course where it's flat and gaps can open, and it's less about who's got the legs and more about split decisions and people looking at each other that kind of creates the tactical side. And the rest of the circuit is about thinking about, it's all about positioning and thinking about the city. When you're there, it goes super fast. It's the hardest part, but at the same time, it's the part you use your brain the least, in my opinion.
From what I understand, you can be exposed to crosswinds out on the course, away from the city. Obviously, there's a very fast run into the bottom of Michael Gate, which is kind of renowned for, I guess, the need to position yourself, because one, you often see in the opening laps a touch of wheels on Michael Gate, and anyone stuck behind that will have a hard time getting back into the race. So talk us through those kind of, I mean, you alluded to it there, but talk us through that kind of run in, how important positioning is, and kind of other kind of, I guess, touch points out there on the course before you get to Michael Gate that potentially can decide things.
Well, I guess if we start the lap at the top of the climb, you have you end up on sort of main road out of town. You've got a few roundabouts and things, but they're quite wide open roads, and this is a place where attacks can go, but also it's a good opportunity to move up because the road's so wide. And then you have a sharp left into the descent, which is narrow, and then you're on a narrow lane, which is a lot harder to move up on. So, the race definitely doesn't neutralize itself there, but you're going to struggle to move position. And often, this is why it's a quite tactical part of the circuit. People can attack on that narrow lane, and if you're boxed in, you're behind the wrong wheel, then there's nothing you can do about it, even if you've got the best legs in the race. So you've got that lane, which is quite kind of tactical part, and often that is exposed to crosswinds as well, and the group gets strung out. And then you end up back on the main road, which takes you back towards the town, and that is similar to the main road out of town. It's wide, it's quite relatively easy to move up to some extent. There's a lot more space. But then once you get on that road, everyone's already thinking about the climb that sort of you can physically see. You can see it when you're on that road, the cathedral, and it's a kind of foreboding omen that you need to reminder that you need to move up and already start thinking about putting yourself in the best position to get there.
Yeah.
And then once you come off that, you end up on a slightly narrow road, and it drags up a bit. There's a few sort of drags as you go through the feed, and then a slight descent, and then back onto the climb.
Let's talk about the race this year then, James. Obviously last year you finished fourth, very, very close to the podium, but kind of outdone by a St. Piran 1-2-3, a site I guess we're getting accustomed to now in the National Road Series. Do you have any thoughts on how the race will play out this Sunday? I mean, St. Piran, I guess, on paper are the favourites, and you're now among them. You played the numbers game really well at the East Cleveland Classic, with Rowan Baker winning, and of course you on the podium, James, and kind of seemingly returning to form after a kind of winter's disruption with training. So how do you see things playing out?
Yeah, it's, I think if I had I could tell you right now, I there's no betting in UK racing, so I would be a rich man. I certainly would be allowed to bet on the race I'm competing in. But what I'm trying to say is I don't know how it's going to play out. I think St. Piran and the team are going to be buzzing if we can recreate a similar kind of final scenario. But yeah, UK racing is not predictable. It's I think there will be a impetus to look on us to take up the race. Yeah. And I think if we make it a hard race, or it is a hard race, that plays into our favour. But I can't say. There's, some really strong riders and other teams. So it's going to be maybe on them to look to try and, if they want to get something from the race, maybe they're going to have to be aggressive. And it's about, you know, a couple of strong other riders who want to play ball with us, maybe, and take it to us. And then, you know, if they've got the legs to fight it out with us at the end and better us, then that's great for them. But I don't think it's the sort of, I don't think it's a race, or any National Series race this year will be raced in a way that someone can sit back and expect St. Peran to not just to disappear up the road or go out without a fight. So I think, yeah, like most domestic races, fortune favors the brave, and being aggressive, if you've got the legs to back it up, it will pay off.
Yeah, and you've got, obviously you don't have the maybe all of your strongest riders in the team. Riders like Rowan Baker, of course, won the East Cleveland Classic, isn't riding, but you've still got a lot of powerful riders there. Alex Richardson, of course, has won the race twice before, won it last year as part of that 1-2-3. But then you've got Dylan Wesley, who won the Wally Gimber Trophy earlier this year, suits that kind of course, and Hugh Buck Jones, who is another rider you would argue would suit that kind of racing and has been really consistent this year. So you've obviously got cards to play. I asked you this last time around, but does that add pressure? And as somebody obviously coming into form yourself and perhaps thinking about wanting to win the race, does that cause complications almost? You know, you've got teammates which you can use to your own advantage, but then you've also got the complication of maybe wanting to beat them on the day and get that win.
I don't think it's a problem having a strong team. Yeah, we have some of our boys racing in the Tour of Hellas in Greece on the same day, but we've got a big squad now. The Yuskis team has merged with the UCI team. So we've got, yeah, a lot of young talent on kind of across the board. And I think they'll all be looking to make a name for themselves at Lincoln, the boys who are there. And the fact that we've got such a strong team is, yeah, I don't see any downsides to it, really. If there's, you know, every rider will be ambitious, but I think that will only spur us on as a team. And we all get on well. I don't see anyone trying to kind of race their own teammates to some extent. It's going to be about making sure we dominate the race and we work together to make sure one of the boys in black cross the line first. I think that's about as simple as it gets.
And obviously Alex, I guess, would be keen to get a hat trick in the race. He's taken a different approach from what I understand this year. He's at work, back to work. He's not racing and training full time as he did in previous years, but he's nonetheless seems to be coming into really good form at the right time for this race. Do you know kind of much about the way he's approaching it? Is the hat trick something that he's keen to get?
I'm sure, you know, Lincoln Grand Prix, Richardson will be going well. And yeah, I don't think he's going to the race just to roll around. If he's there, I'm sure he'll be wanting to get a third cobblestone. So yeah, it's only in our favour to have such a strong rider there. But at the same time, it's way better for him to be going with a strong team than be defending that title on his own. You know, he's got seven guys who will ride out the skins for him, and you know, he's in a position where if something happens on the day, you know, he can also play off other riders or look for one of them maybe to take things on. But yeah, I'm no doubt that Richardson will be well up for it.
And you did really well in the East Cleveland Classic, a race we previewed in the last podcast episode, coming third, and obviously your teammate Rowan won the race. Can we learn from that race in the way, in perhaps thinking about kind of potential rivals, the way St. Piran need to play the race when thinking about other teams and other riders? And I guess we don't just have the riders that were there, of course. We have some other interesting people on the start list. Matt Holmes is looking to make a comeback and is on the start list. We've got Tom Portsmouth, now a professional rider with Bengal WB. So some really big hitters alongside the types of riders you were up against at East Cleveland.
I mean, it will be a dream scenario if it is similar to East Cleveland. There will be other strong, very strong riders in the race, and potentially as individuals, they are stronger than our riders. But I think as a unit, we should have the upper hand, and I think there's no reason that to be intimidated by, you know, Matt Holmes or you know, professional riders coming to race Lincoln. I think you saw Roy Townsend last year, on paper the strongest rider in the race, and he couldn't stop St. Piran. So, you know, it's not just about, you know, bike racing isn't about being the strongest rider. You also need to play your cards right, and it is a team sport. So, yeah, I think we did learn at Klondike that wheelbase are very strong. We sort of knew this, and Tim Shawman was a little bit off the grid before the race. I don't think he'd done too much racing, so his form was a bit of an unknown.
Tim came second, of course.
We should
clarify.
Yeah, he certainly isn't flying under the radar anymore. So it's great to see wheelbase, I think, stepping up the past few years, really bring on their level. So, yeah, I think they'll be ones to watch. And then, yeah, like you've said, a few new faces to maybe mix things up.
And before we wrap up this bit, James, do you want to make any predictions?
I don't think you can overlook Richie. You know, he's the man of the moment at Lincoln Grand Prix. I think he will be the bookie's favourite, and I'm sure he's hungry for that hat trick. So I'm going to go with Alex Richardson.
So that was James Mackay nailing his colours firmly to the St. Piran mast, nominating his teammate Alex Richardson for the win. And that was a fascinating insight into the race. But don't rule out James himself. I'm sure he will be up there too. Next up, we heard from Jo Tinley. She has a slightly different take on the race. It's definitely a love-hate relationship for her. Obviously, the Lincoln Grand Prix is a race you know very well. In fact, you obviously know Lincoln very well. Tell us about your relationship with the race, first of all.
Yeah, I think for me personally, it's a bit of a love-hate relationship with the race. It's I don't particularly enjoy racing at Michael Gate. It's not my cup of tea, I don't think. But then I love the race as it's so historic. You know, it's an incredible race. I've raced it from the first year. It was 2016, I think, was the National Championships, wasn't it? And I've raced the edition like every year. I've raced it every year. And every year people ask me, oh, do you train at Michael Gate? And actually, this is the first year that I've actually gone out and done reps at Michael Gate, just to almost to survive rather than you know, the win, so to speak. But it's a great race. And the atmosphere is probably one of the best in the UK of any of the races. It's a bit of a funny one for me, I think.
Yeah. And it's, to anyone that's never been to Lincoln, you should go and watch it. It's an amazing experience as a spectator. I've done it a couple of times, including the Nationals, the last time it was there. But there's a pub just beyond the finish line called the Magna Carta, which you used to work in. Is that right, Jo?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work there for a few years. So I overlooked the finish line of Lincoln Grand Prix for many years.
And it's, a special race for the team as well, because I guess Lincoln is the base of the team. And you won the National Circuit Race Championships there when the Nationals was last held there. So you have crossed the line first on that famous finish line, albeit in a different race. What does it mean to the team?
It means a lot. You know, the majority of our sponsors are local. You know, they're either sort of Newark-based or Lincoln-based. And it's really a big thing. You know, it's to have a home race is always special, and something so historic and quite, you know, as far as races go, it's probably, I think it's one of the best races in the UK, you know. So it does mean a lot to us. It's a good opportunity for us to get all our sponsors like Pro Noctis, 200 Degrees Coffee up there and that. So it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And of course you won the race, or the team won the race last year with Robin Clay. What was that like?
That was very emotional, because obviously the break went up the road. There's no radios, obviously. We knew Robin stood a great chance. You know, she's a great bike rider. But, you know, you just don't know, because we were unsure about the group. She was outnumbered. and she used her head. Fair play. She rode a really brilliant race, you know. So when I crossed the line and found out that Robin had won, I get really emotional when teammates win. I don't necessarily enjoy winning myself, which is a bit of a strange thing. But when I found out she'd won, it was like, I think everybody had tears. Certainly Rick did. I know, and it meant a lot to him. But yeah, it was a special day. It's great. You know, it's a one that we're going to always cherish.
Yeah. And this year, of course, there's another stellar lineup, and many of the riders that raced or will race Lincoln raced at the East Cleveland Classic, which we previewed in the last podcast episode. I know I asked you last time, Joe, what can we learn from the Cycle Classic for future races, and you said nothing. But East Cleveland, are there things we can take from that race for how we might see things play out at Lincoln, do you think?
Yeah, it's yet again another strong field. I wasn't surprised by the winner at East Cleveland, and to be honest, I won't be surprised by the winner, you know, at Lincoln. I think we've all got to be aware as riders. I think, you know, the field is incredibly open. How Lincoln was won last year was a break. You know, it just so happened that break went. It was well manned by different teams and stuff. So Lincoln's a funny one. It could be a break. It could be a bunch coming into the bottom of Michaelgate. But I certainly think that we should be watching the same riders as what were picked up at Saltburn at East Cleveland.
Yeah. You didn't name her, but Kat Ferguson was the winner there and is back on the start list this time around. You kind of warned us in the last episode that we needed to look out for the juniors, and so it was. You know, it was a great show from not just Kat, but Imogen Wolf, who you mentioned as well, and a load of other juniors. You said you won't be surprised about the winner this time around. Is Kat Ferguson unstoppable, do you think? I mean, she it was an incredible win at East Cleveland. She crashed and still came back and to take the win. She obviously likes those kind of punchy climbs. You would think Michaelgate would suit her. Is she the kind of now the favourite?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Having watched how I came past her at the bottom of Saltburn, and she was, you know, looking at a bike. She stood at the side of the road. So I wasn't aware of what happened. Before the finish line, she came past me. As I came through the finish line, she'd stopped to have a bike change. And then a few hundred metres up the road, she came back past me again and was back, you know, was back in the bunch sort of thing straight away. So, and also having seen how she rode the bank on the last, you know, coming into the finish, just kept going. I think it's very similar to Michaelgate. And she's good at cross. So I think, you know, the cobbles aren't going to slow her down at all. I don't know. I think there would have to be some monumental team effort to really knock her off that top step, I think, to be honest.
Mm. How will your team approach it, Joe?
I think that we will change tact a little bit. It's a tricky one. A lot of it plays on how everybody's feeling on the day and what the team plan is. Personally, I think that we need to be a little bit more aggressive with things and force things a little bit more. So it depends. It depends on what the team plan is, how everybody's feeling. It's a tricky one. You know, it's still a week away, and we've got another race coming up this weekend. So it's I guess you don't want to be giving away too many plans before the week. But we're gonna have to change it up a gear, I think, for Lincoln, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And of course there's Elle King riding, at least she's on the provisional start list. She won the Cycle Classic. Life Plus have got three riders. Hess have got a couple of riders. And of course, the usual kind of UCI and elite teams there. It seems like an incredibly strong field. So there'll be a lot of other teams and riders for Shipton to have to keep an eye on if they are seen as the team to look at.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, you look at how the Nationals played out in 21. It split really early. You know, all the strong riders, there's a group of, I think, 11, I think it was, wasn't it? And it split really early, which is really unusual for Lincoln. You know, it's not to say that the strong riders that we've got this time round wouldn't do the same. So it's definitely, it's going to be really interesting because it is a really strong field. you know, every year that he gets stronger. But there are some really good riders coming in, especially from Hesse, and like you say, so it will be interesting to say the least. So
yeah, and obviously you said you've ridden every edition of the race. It's a course you know well, even if you don't love it. For you, where are the key points in the course? I mean, Michael Gate is obviously the centerpiece, but a lot can happen outside of the city as well, can't it?
Yeah, so I kind of see it as 9 individual races. It's not, you know, it is all about positioning coming in. I think, you know, we start jostling for position up the feed before you drop down Yarborough Road, and it's just getting earlier and earlier. And like, if you're not in position by the traffic lights at the top, then you're off the mark there a little bit, because it is full gas down the descent. You know, your effort starts from the top of that hill, getting into the bottom of the corner. Then you come around the corners, you know. So it's there's not a lot of time to move up. And I think it's, if you break it down, you've got to look at it as you know, each lap is an individual race sort of thing. You know, and the break went last year on the bottom flat road, which is quite unusual. It normally comes back on the main road. So, yeah, I just see it as in, like, each lap, you've got to really be on the ball coming into Michael Gate. Yeah.
And what's your role, Joe, typically in the race? I mean, it's a race that you kind of said perhaps doesn't suit you completely. So what kind of role do you play in the team?
It depends on the plan. But ultimately, I think I'm going to approach the race differently this year, personally. I think that my role would probably be more, you know, making sure things come back, being in them. I'm not somebody that can win from the bunch at Michael Gate. I'm not strong enough. So I'd have to sort of play that differently if I was looking for the win there.
Yeah. Also, I mean, as a, I guess, an experienced rider, and you've got a lot of youngsters on the team, is there a role for you in terms of helping others to position themselves and kind of get some of the other riders in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, there will be, you know, especially on the last lap. It's pretty important on the last lap. So yeah, we'll see. If it arose, you know, and it was a case of we're riding for one particular rider, I'd certainly be all in for that last lap for them. Yeah, and moving them up the bunch where they need to be, for sure.
Joe, I mean, I put you on the spot last time and asked you for some predictions, which is completely unfair, but I'm going to do the same again. Kat Ferguson, is there anybody else that you think we should be looking at in terms of winning this race?
Oh, I don't like these questions. I still think that Kat's on form, and Imogen, having watched how they rode at Saltburn, like, nobody could touch them in the finish. So that's my money, genuinely. You know, if they have a good race and it's still all together, I think you don't stand much chance of their, you know, watts per kilo going up Michael Gate.
Okay. Well, we have been warned. How much rivalry will there be between the UCI teams in the race, do you think?
I think there'll be quite a lot. I think it's a race that everybody wants to win. You know, when you sort of set out your goals for the year within the team, pretty much every rider on the team wants to win that race. And I would guarantee you that that's the same in every team. And between the UCI teams, it's still, yeah, I think it's still pretty, you know, it's fierce. It's everyone's stepped up a level and everyone's going stronger. Every team's stronger. So I think that, yeah, it will be a battle. And I think the overall standings, like the team standings, may shift throughout the year. But I think that's what some teams have got their eye on, is the overall for the team as well.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be fighting.
Yeah. And finally, Joe, I mean, I know that a lot of the UCI teams, the British UCI teams, were out in Belgium this week. Some of them still out there, but you raced the Cyclist Classic on Wednesday, and there was a horrendous crash at the end of that race, and a lot of the British riders were caught up in that. I think it was started by Eilish Shaw, unfortunately losing control in the sprint finale. It's a very, very hectic sprint finish. How's your team feeling after that finale?
Yeah, so fortunately, only Bexy and I were in that that front group coming into the finish. We were mid-bunch, so we managed to stop in time. The pair of us had to walk across the finish line. Like, you know, I mean, if you see the footage, it's pretty shocking, to be honest. Prior to that, Jesse had a crash earlier on in the race. I mean, there were some big get-downs within the race. It was 138K and averaged 40.9K an hour for 3.5 hours. So, like, when you're going that quick through 5 metres of elevation per lap, or not even that, I think for the whole race, it was pan flat. So it was dodgy, but yeah, it wasn't nice seeing, you know, the riders on the ground. And I know Robin had a hard hit, and it was horrible to see. You know, so we all send our love to Robin. But ultimately, you know, it is bike racing, and I you know, it's certainly it's the risk that you take, isn't it? And yeah, it's not often I see stuff like that. Like, especially at the finish like that, a massive get down. Like, it was pretty extreme. But luckily, we don't have that very often.
Yeah. I mean, Robin Clay, of course, as you mentioned there, she broke her collarbone. She's got a fractured spine as well, from what I understand. So is obviously going to be off the bike for a little while until she recovers. But we wish her all the best, and everyone else who's kind of affected in that race, of course, as well. I mean, and I also feel sorry for Eilly Shaw. I mean, I'm sure while she was at the centre of what happened, no one goes into a sprint meaning to be the one to kind of be at the centre of a crash like that. And she must be feeling horrendous as well. I mean, does that affect the way teams and riders would be getting on with each other going into races like Lincoln and elsewhere?
No. You know, obviously, it certainly wasn't. I've been in a position before where I thought I caused a crash. I completely empathise with how she's feeling, you know, and it's not nice. But ultimately, you know, having a mechanical when you're mid-sprint, you can't, it's not, you know, you don't wish that on anyone, and it's not her fault. You know, it's just part of bike racing. So I wouldn't, yeah, there'd be no animosity between the team. Well, I wouldn't have thought so. You know, you can't help a mechanical, you know, from the looks of it, it looks like a chain slipped, and you can't. That's that. When you're full gas, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I do feel for her, and it's not a nice position to be in, especially when you see people online, keyboard warriors, saying things when they weren't even there. You know. So yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I can imagine how she feels.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to hear, Joe. And I really hope it goes well at Lincoln for the team, and hopefully. No such incidents there, just good, fun racing. And if you're listening to this and you live near Lincoln, or even if you don't live that close, I really heartily recommend, if you get to one race in the UK this year, make it the Lincoln Grand Prix, because it is a really great spectacle. You get to see the men and the women go up in total 21 times altogether if you stand on Michael Gates. So it's a great day out, great atmosphere, and great day racing. So do make it out, and shout Joe and James and everybody else on from the roadside. But otherwise, thank you very much, Joe. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we can speak to you again another time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the British Continental Podcast. Find out more news and views about domestic road racing on www.thebritishcontinental.co.uk.